In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, until the ages of ages. Amen. Do not turn your face away from any poor man, and the face of God will not be turned away from you. If you have many possessions, make your gift from them in proportion. If you do not be afraid to give according to the little that you have, so you will be laying up a good treasure for yourself against the day of necessity. For charity delivers from death and keeps you from entering the darkness. We discussed most of these verses last week, and we specifically remember the story about the gentleman who gave a tomato to a young man, and that story, the very powerful story that was told by Father Athanasius, just an extreme example of how true the Word of God is and how appropriate, especially for this last verse, for almsgiving delivers from death and keeps you from entering the darkness. This one little gesture of thanksgiving, even one tomato, delivered that gentleman from death. So almsgiving saves from death and does not allow anyone to enter into darkness. Death and darkness here refer to the eternal death and eternal hell, the eternal separation from God. And St. James also tells us that there will be judgment without mercy for those who did not live a life of mercy, and mercy wins over judgment. So God's judgment will be merciless for the person who showed no mercy to his fellow man. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord also tells us, the Gospel that's read during Holy Lent, Great Lent, on Gospel of the Judgment Day. Then he will tell to those at his left, "Go away from me, you who are cursed from my Father. Go to the lake of fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was sick and you did not visit me. I was naked and you failed to clothe me," and so on. "I was in jail and you did not visit me." And we see here the judgment will be very harsh and unavoidable for those who were unmoved and cold-hearted. St. James also tells us that if someone happens to go astray from the truth and someone helps him return, someone helps this person, let him know that he will save his soul from death and he will cover over a multitude of sins. So here we can see that the brother that helps another person to come back to the truth saves the soul of that would-be lost person, but he also saves his own soul, assuming, of course, that he continues on the path of godliness and sanctity. It's not ever get the idea that because we may have helped a person or two come to church, take Holy Communion, go to Holy Confession, come to Christ, this does not necessarily guarantee our salvation, and we cannot relax about our own spirituality. We have to struggle for our own salvation day and night until the day of our death. St. Paul says this very, very clearly, when he says that he who holds on to the very end will be saved. We must also point out again that giving alms without the true faith in Jesus Christ will prove to be worthless. Father Athanasius mentions of a young man during the 40s who died very young, about 30 years old. He had a heart problem. At any rate, it was revealed during his death that he had helped a great deal of families. He gave all kinds of alms. It was also revealed that he belonged to the nearest Masonic lodge. The question is, this man gave alms, but why? was he actually saved? I believe that we could easily answer this question once we realize that Masons deny the very divinity of Jesus Christ, and they regard him as an important man, equal to Zoroaster, or Buddha, or Muhammad, and salvation cannot take place in that sort of belief, at least for a baptized Orthodox Christian. No, once we die with the identity of a Freemason, our faith has been shipwrecked, a word used by St. Paul in Timothy, those that have shipwrecked their faith. So we must understand that without true faith, it is very impossible to be saved, according to one of the greatest theologians of our times, Romanian Father Dimitru Stanoloe. St. James, in his epistle about saving a soul from death, is primarily referring to spiritual alms, helping someone in the area of spirituality. St. Peter, on the same topic, also mentions that love will cover over a multitude of sins. And as we know, love is the mother of almsgiving. So a given heart will not sin very easily. A loving heart does not do harm to his neighbor. Therefore, alms will prevent us from sinning. God will protect us from heavy sins when we are merciful. We have a prime example for this in King Nebuchadnezzar, who was a formidable king, one of the strongest kings in history. He built a great empire. He conquered Palestine and Egypt. He desecrated the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem, and he seized up all the holy utensils and holy objects of the altar of worship, gold, silver, and he took all this to his own capital. And this, of course, would serve as God's punishment to the Jews for their multitude of transgressions. As God says, I will punish you by allowing this type of thing, but I will also in turn punish heavily the person who commits such a desecration. So Nebuchadnezzar was used by God to punish the disobedience of the Jews, but God will also punish him for his own sinfulness. At some point, Nebuchadnezzar had a terrible dream. He saw a large tree with all kinds of birds nesting in it. The branches of the tree covered the entire earth, and a voice was heard. This tree must be cut down, and only the root must remain. So the tree was cut down, and the birds flew away in fear. He was greatly puzzled by this strange dream, and his advisors, astrologers, magicians, swamis, they could not give him any satisfaction. They could not give him an answer. And Prophet Daniel told him, King, you are the tree, and God will cut you down to size because you have committed great and heavy sins. And if you don't repent, you will suffer much evil. And this is what Daniel prescribed as a remedy. King, I hope you listen to me. Take my advice and save your sins from alms and wipe away your injustice. So you will save your sins by giving and helping the poor. And if you do this, God may be long-suffering with you, and God may actually spare you. So as we can see, the subject of alms is a great one. It has much depth. It's multidimensional. As we said earlier, it does not exhaust itself in writing a check out or giving some money. We can be people of alms by showing love and understanding to a human being, especially to those forgotten by society, to the shut-ins, those in nursing homes, to the homeless. Money is only a small part of it. There are so many different ways to show mercy. If someone asks you for directions and you have some time, if you have some time to spare, don't just give directions. Tell the people, oh, by the way, I do have some time to spare, you don't mind if I show you how to get there. Just follow me. I get in my car, and you can follow me. I'll show you how to get there. Don't worry. Also, taking an older person to Holy Confession who cannot drive, cannot get there, taking them shopping, the person with a good soul, the beautiful soul, will be very creative in finding ways to pour out his love. We must also stress here that almsgiving helps those who have fallen asleep in the Lord. God has granted the opportunity to us to help a brother who has left this life if we have some of his belongings given as alms. By the way, let's not wait to give everything away after we die. That's a common mistake that we can make, and it actually can be lack of faith. Let's give now as well, because if we simply give everything after we die, as a form, in a form of a will, Saint Basil actually says, then you are not actually giving it. Death is giving it, and not necessarily you. So we have to avoid extremes like that. But a common practice in the history of Orthodoxy was to give the belongings of those asleep and to give them and use them for alms, at least a portion of them. We see this in the book of Apostolic Canons, Apostolic Viataye. Give from the belonging of those that have fallen asleep, give them to the poor for their memory. We must emphasize that this is true for the believers, those that died in Christ Jesus. For the ungodly, the unethical, and the unchurched, however, if you would give their entire net worth to the poor, all these alms would not help them because they did not die in Christ Jesus. Which means we can help the men who had faith in Christ, but much like all of us, did not stay free from sin. A sinner can be helped in that respect, always counting in the mercy of God. Again, when a person dies, they by themselves, that person cannot make any change whatsoever. The soul becomes solidified. It is impossible for that soul to benefit itself at all. However, church militant can pray on behalf of the deceased. It is common knowledge that the divine liturgy benefits not only us here on earth, but also those that have fallen asleep in the Lord. Saint Nicholas Cabasilus actually states that divine liturgy benefits the deceased more than the living. This is precisely why we offer our gifts in memory of our deceased. We offer prosperon, wine, but we also donate and give alms in their memory. All these benefit the soul. However, we must not neglect the memorial services or mnemosyna, because donations and alms will never equal the benefit of the prayers of the church, where the entire body of Christ is praying for the soul. And we now continue with Tobit. For it is a great gift for those that give alms in the eyes of God. So God gives the gift of alms to those who have a good disposition, good prothesis to receive this, because alms is a virtue and a child of love. So since all virtues come from God, so does eleemosyne. It comes from God. As we said earlier, it is an uncreated energy of God. So alms is a good gift from God to men, and all man has to do is accept it. God is merciful, and he offers his energies to us. Let's never forget that everything belongs to God, so let's never make the mistake of boasting that we give to others and we are someone special because we can give and help others. No, we are simply exercising a virtue that was given to us by God. And since God is merciful, we become godlike when we take on the same quality. We also remember Tabitha in the Acts of the Apostles. She was full of good deeds, and she gave alms constantly. She was a lady of alms. Her heart was full of mercy. So mercy opens the gates of heaven. And if you want to give, but you can't, we still have the same result. You still have the same result according to Saint Clement of Alexandria. Not only those that give alms are considered merciful, but those who would like to give but cannot. Again, it is very important that we realize that the virtue comes from God and it returns to God, much like love. Almsgiving must also be a fruit of thankfulness towards God for all the blessings that He has given us. The heart that has knowledge can only act in this way, knowing that God provides for us and blesses us so abundantly. We cannot help but think, Lord, you gave us so much. You showed us so much mercy. So we must now share your blessings with other people to thank you, to show our appreciation. This is why Abbot Dorotheos says, we must give according to how we receive. And this is the understanding of alms. We should feel always indebted to God, forever indebted to God. Let's give to show our thankfulness and our appreciation, since we can never pay God back, never. But the more we give, the more we receive. And this is true especially for spiritual gifts. The more spiritual help we give to others, the more we receive. God gave us wealth to use it for the poor, to enhance this communion of love between those that will give and those that will receive. There's a great misconception about the Christians of this country that God gives us everything to enjoy. Money is ours to enjoy and invest and live a life of continuous comfort. What comfort did Christ have? What comfort did the apostles have? What comfort did the martyrs and saints have over the years? Woe to us who have succeeded in changing the gospel of the cross to a gospel of comfort. No, God allows the existence of rich and poor in order to create a communion of love. The poor people, the homeless, they are going to help us to get to paradise, to practice our godly virtue of almsgiving, whether materially or spiritually. Almsgiving also destroys selfishness and the foolish egotism. In the parable of the rich man who said, I have many goods, I'm going to build me more storage rooms, more warehouses to store all my goods, and my soul will be merry for years to come. This mine, all mine attitude is destroyed by the virtue of almsgiving. This beautiful virtue will never allow us to ever think that all our goods are meant exclusively for us. In our days, we are witnessing a great miracle of God's providence in this desolate land, the establishment of holy monasteries under the experienced direction of the holy Yeranda, Father Ephrem. These blessed monasteries will serve as the lighthouses for our darkened times. I don't know if we can have many, many more opportunities to assist in the work of God so directly. By helping to build a monastery, whether we provide physical labor or whether we help in the construction financially, our names will be commemorated at every divine liturgy until our Lord comes back. We will be prayed for as ktitores, or builders of the monastery, and this is a great spiritual investment that could help us a great deal on a day of need. My brothers and sisters, let's not wait to win the lottery to give, what some people commonly comment. Number one, gambling is a sin. And number two, that type of money does not belong to you. You did not earn it from honest work, so it is not acceptable to God. God says give from your possessions according to what you have. If you have a little, then give a little. If you have been blessed with more, then give accordingly. In program T1, we read very quickly the first four chapters of the book of Tobit. And now in this program, we will read chapter number 5. Then Tobias answered him, "Father, I will do everything that you have commanded me. But how can I obtain the money when I do not know the man?" Then Tobit gave him the receipt and said to him, "Find a man to go with you, and I will pay him wages as long as I live, and go and get the money." So he went to look for a man, and he found Raphael, who was an angel, but Tobias did not know it. Tobias said to him, "Can you go with me to Rages in Media? Are you acquainted with that region?" The angel replied, "I will go with you. I am familiar with the way, and I have stayed with our brother Gabael." Then Tobias said to him, "Wait for me, and I shall tell my father." And he said to him, "Go and do not delay." So he went in and said to his father, "I have found someone to go with me." He said, "Call him to me so that I may learn to what tribe he belongs and whether he is a reliable man to go with you." So Tobias invited him in. He entered and they greeted each other. Then Tobit said to him, "My brother, to what tribe and family do you belong? Tell me." But he answered, "Are you looking for a tribe and a family, or for a man whom you will pay to go with your son?" And Tobit said to him, "I should like to know, my brother, your people and your name." He replied, "I am Azarias, the son of the great Ananias, one of your relatives." Then Tobit said to him, "You are welcome, my brother. Do not be angry with me because I tried to learn your tribe and family. You are a relative of mine of good and noble lineage, for I used to know Ananias and Jathan, the sons of the great Shemaniah, when we went together to Jerusalem to worship and offer the firstborn of our flocks and the tithes of our produce. They did not go astray in the error of our brethren. My brother, you come of good stock, but tell me, what wages am I to pay you? A drachma a day and expenses for yourself, as for my son? And besides, I will add to your wages if you both return safe and sound." So they agreed to these terms. Then he said to Tobias, "Get ready for the journey and good success to you both." So his son made the preparations for the journey. And his father said to him, "Go with this man. God who dwells in heaven will prosper your way, and may his angel attend you." So they both went out and departed, and the young man's dog was with them. But Anna, his mother, began to weep and said to Tobit, "Why have you sent our child away? Is he not the staff of our hands as he goes in and out before us? Do not add money to money, but consider rubbish was compared to our child, for the life that is given to us by the Lord is enough for us." And Tobit said to her, "Do not worry, my sister. He will return safe and sound, and your eyes will see him, for a good angel will go with him. His journey will be successful, and he will come back safe and sound." So she stopped weeping.
تاركين صالحين وقائلين
قدوس قدوس الرب
Dedicate this small segment of the Divine Liturgy to all our Arabic Orthodox brothers. Now we can see the Orthodox Byzantine tradition coming alive in the language of Saint Isaac the Syrian, Saint John of Damascus, Saint Petrus of Damascus, and Saint Ephrem the Syrians, some of the greatest saints of our Holy Orthodox Church. I also would like to thank my friend Latif from Allentown, who provided me with this tape several years ago.